Network Interference is produced and distributed by Lunavox. Lunavox. That's the name we came up with. Please stand by.
Hello, my name is Shane, and you're listening to Network Interference on your favorite portable audio device. Not the old one. No way. You're going to want that shiny new Walkman you found under the tree. So load up some fresh double A's, because apparently this episode concerns high-tech apparatuses. I originally thought that the plural form of apparatus was apparati. But apparently I was wrong, because my camera phone says so. This is that time of year when my friend Michael and I like to buy ourselves a little present to remind ourselves how important we are to ourselves. So I was about to tell Michael the other day about the present that I gifted myself. And then he started to tell me about the present that he gifted himself. He said it was a game system. And I said, hold on, hold it right there. Say no more, because I want to talk about it on Network Interference. So he has agreed to speak on the matter of these presents that we have gifted ourselves on the telephone. And I'm going to call him right now.
Hello?
Michael. It's Shane.
Good morning, Shane.
Is it morning? I think
here in rainy San Francisco it is.
Oh, it's rainy here where I'm at. So, Michael, I'm excited to hear about this brand spanking new game system.
Well, the brand spanking new game system actually is the nemesis of the system that you wanted to talk to me about today. Because I bought a 7800 plus Atari. The system that you wanted to ask me about was released in 1978, is the Magnavox Odyssey 2.
1978? Gosh, I was just a whippersnapper. I was just whipping and snapping all over the place in 1978.
You were probably playing Atari.
Well, I was playing Space Invaders and the air hockey and pinball. I was definitely playing all of those at the arcade.
I somehow was able to twist my parents' arm into finally getting us a video game system for Christmas in 1981. There's a showroom place called Ardell's, and I went to the back of the catalog, you know, where the toys were, and they had a layout for their video game systems. And back then, there was Intellivision that was like $200, and there was Atari, and then my eye caught this silver console with a keyboard.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was immediately drawn to it. And it was very different. So somehow I vetoed all the rest of my siblings, and we went to Lionel Playworld, and we got Odyssey 2 with one game called UFO.
Okay.
That's how this long friendship with this machine started. I think there were three or four programmers for the Odyssey 2. You know, they made a series of games in 78, and then their designers ran out of ideas. Well, also, Magnavox didn't really believe in the system. Like, this system had it tough out of the starting gates. And so Magnavox was ready to just shut down the system. So there was a gentleman named Ed Everett who sold Magnavox the CPU Intelligence. And he somehow convinced Magnavox to let him program games. And this gentleman was the only programmer for Odyssey 2 for like 2 to 3 years. One guy. And so he kept the system alive. And like all his games would sell out, because that's the only game, you know, the new game that you could get. Since Magnavox wasn't really invested in it, it was Ed Everett who kind of like kept this machine alive. So at the time, Pac-Man was really big.
Right.
And Magnavox and Odyssey 2 beat Atari to the home video game market, I think maybe 3 to 6 months, because we saw an ad on TV for a game called Casey Munchkin. Casey Munchkin was hard to find because it was really popular. The system was starting to sell because of that game. So it's like Pac-Man. Now, the difference between Casey Munchkin is there are three creatures in Casey, and there's only 12 dots, and the 12 dots move. So you actually have to chase the dots. The thing that was really unheard of at the time is you could program your own mazes through the keyboard. I really want the Odyssey 2 for that. Atari released their Pac-Man, and it was terrible, if you remember. It's just aesthetically ugly. It's blocky. Casey, when he moved, he gobbled. It made like this. And then when you stopped, the character would look at you and smile. Casey had personality, whereas Atari Pac-Man was this bad animated mouse. And then you would move it up, and like he wouldn't turn upwards and eat the dots. It would just be on his side view, and it would go
right. He's eating through the top of his head. Now, could you program your own mazes on the Atari?
No, you can't do anything. Remember, it didn't have a keyboard. It is like a terrible port of an arcade game. And then you had Casey Munchkin, which had no flicker, had very clean graphics and movement, and could program your own mazes. So it was just way better. So Atari said, we're going to sue you. And they lost in the lower court. And they appealed. And they won. And so Casey Munchkin had to be taken off the market. So Atari basically took the wind out of Odyssey 2's sales, because they were getting popular at that time. So Atari was always disparaged by me and my household, right? They were the bad guys.
I admire you for being so young and seeking out the one that allows you to be a creator. That's definitely the one that I would choose to if those options were given to me. You know, you have choices. Two of them you could just play with, but one of them you can actually get involved and tinker with on the inside. Sure, that's really a good feature, no doubt.
Oh, somebody wants to say hello.
Hello, Shane. It's I, the boy of us two.
Are you watching War Games with Matthew Broderick?
No, I'm typing into the Odyssey 2 keyboard with the voice module attached with a type-and-tell cartridge.
Whoa! So it takes cartridges, and it has a voice from 1978?
Well, the voice module was released in 82.
Still 1982, and it sounds almost as good as Siri.
Hello, Shane. It's I, the boy of us.
I mean, still.
Yeah, they released the voice module, so they had three educational games that either taught you spelling or math. And I have the math game called Nimble Numbers Ned. And the thing we like most about it is if you got the answer wrong, it didn't say, like, try again. It said, wrong. Do it again.
Get it right this time.
I know, it's really harsh. And then if you get all the answers wrong, it says, you blew it.
Like, you blew it.
How encouraging for children, right?
What about to the parents? That's the message to the parents. You blew it, mom and dad. You just spent $35 on this cartridge, and you blew it.
This is Casey's Crazy Chase. It has voice, and you can hear the voice tell you to do stuff.
Go, go, watch out. Go, 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 watch out. Out, oh no.
Hey, he's got a little personality. Pac-Man doesn't talk, does he?
He laughs.
Go. Ouch, oh no.
But I'd have to connect it to the...
What does he say? Ouch, oh no?
Yeah, that's when Casey dies.
Ouch.
Casey's Crazy Chase. And it's animated. He does a little look of surprise.
Uh-huh.
And then he does a sad face, and one of his antennas waves goodbye, and he disappears.
What, so, and what does he say? Ouch?
Yeah, ouch, oh no.
Ouch, oh no.
Oh, ouch, oh no. I'm fading away. Mr. Stark, I'm so scared. I'm fading.
Ouch, oh no.
And for a long time, they didn't utilize the keyboard. It didn't program games to really use the keyboard.
Yeah, yeah. Well, tell me about the keyboard. What use did you eventually find for the keyboard?
Like, this is 1980. Mm-hmm. Right? There's two lines on the screen, and you would type in on the top screen. And you'd ask whoever you're, you know, with to cover their eyes, and you type it in, and then hit enter and the computer would scramble it. And then the bottom line was whoever trying to decipher it.
You type a word and it just scrambles the letters?
Yeah, and then whoever you're playing against has to figure out what it is.
Wow, that sounds like a quarter of an hour of fun.
And if you got it wrong, you got the famous reused Odyssey tune. But it was neat to type things in, you know. So what I would do, you know, because I was a cinephile, I would type in fake movie titles.
Right.
Directed by Michael Worrell, you know.
Uh-huh.
Things like that on the screen. You know, I was a star.
That's clever. But could you save it? Did it have a memory?
Oh, God, no.
When you turn the machine off, it's gone.
Yes, there was always a spin in the manual, you know, like turn it off and start the fun again. Like they always tried to like spin it, you know.
Start the fun again.
Don't like the results? Hit reset and start again. There was a game called Showdown in 20,001 AD. And basically it was Odyssey 2's version of Outlaw. And the thing about I always liked about Ed Everett's games is he would animate. These things had some kind of personalities. It wasn't the blocky cowboys of the Outlaw Atari. They had the swagger as they walked.
Nice little touch.
And then, you know, it was always futuristic that these were robots, like a, kind of a Westworld thing, right? Mm-hmm. But you had to watch out because the bullets would ricochet against the trees. When he got shot, the cowboy spun around and then fell on the ground, and then his hat would be on top of his body.
That happened a lot in the Old West.
Here it is. I'm going to play you this other. Look out.
Oh, yeah.
Look out. Look out.
Look out, everybody.
Look out.
That is a Southern accent.
Hurry. Help. Go for it.
The cowboys don't say go for it.
Go for it.
You never heard a cowboy say go for it.
Go for it. Go for it.
And now I'm going to like let him die.
Oh, oh, oh.
I just let the guy fall. I went, oh.
Oh.
I used to call Magnavox and speak to the PR person for Odyssey 2.
Uh-huh. How old are you?
13. 13, 14 years old. My dad's like, who the hell's calling Tennessee? It was me.
Oh, that's great.
And I would pepper the PR agent with tons of questions about the Odyssey.
That's fantastic. I can imagine you doing that so easily. Yeah, I want to talk to the head of PR.
So I spoke to this rep at least three times about the mail, you know, what happened. They were going to release the Pink Panther, and she was this, you know, Southern woman, and she said, "Well, Michael," sorry, now I sound like I'm imitating you. And she said, "Unfortunately, because the chips were being manufactured in Mexico via Fisher-Price, and she told me that there was a problem with the chip manufacturing. So, but she said they were going to release a game called Power Lords." And I said, "Does it have voice?" She goes, "No, it doesn't have voice." And I said, "Did Ed Everett program it?" She's like, "Yes, Ed programmed it." Like, so I'm speaking her language, right? So my dad's not going to like give me $30 to buy this game. So I never got it. It's a cartridge. When it sells, if it's in the box, it's going to sell for $300 to $400.
Wow.
So I thought I would never be able to play this game.
Uh-huh.
And then this guy, John Dozilla, he created a multi-cart, which has every single release for the Odyssey in America, its European counterpart, and Brazil, and all the games that were released in Europe and Brazil that we never got.
On a single cartridge.
Yeah, so I got to finally play Power Lords without spending $400. The Odyssey 2, in some ways, was a lost opportunity. But now we have people, you know, who carry the torch, who program these games. So 83 is really heating up for Odyssey 2 owners. Like, we're excited. And then NAP introduces the next generation, the Odyssey 3, which had, like, type keys and improved graphics. And it was just going to be, like, the second coming. Like, we were going to finally get an Odyssey that's equal to Atari and television. In 1983 was the video game crash. The market got way too saturated with games. And NAP pulled the plug on anything that was Odyssey. So we never got our Odyssey 3. It was never released, but some people owned prototypes. Oh, yeah, I forgot about finally Odyssey 2. You rarely would ever see Odyssey 2 commercials. So one Odyssey 2 commercial I saw during 60 Minutes, and my jaw would draw open because I'd actually see an ad for Odyssey 2, which is really rare. And so as the narrator, they used Leonard Nimoy.
Oh.
Right? So then they had more ads, and they created this character named the Wizard of Odyssey. So he was like in like this fake ice castle, and he would shill the games, right? So I used to call him the Moron of Odyssey. You know, they never showed like all the capabilities. I don't know. The Odyssey 2 in some ways was a lost opportunity. Well, you know, you can do things with this. Like you can make sound effects. Like if I just do a bunch of cues. Hear that?
Love it.
That's
love it.
Cue. Let's just do a bunch of P's.
That is a great percussion.
That's W's.
That's W?
Yeah, all W's.
I bet you could play a cover of Warm Leatherette on that.
You know,
warm leatherette.
One thing I'm going to do, I want to take this and I want to take the karaoke track of Hungry Like the Wolf and have the Odyssey 2 sing Hungry Like the Wolf.
Oh, please, please. And I hope you share it on Network Interference.
Pound in the psyche. Pound in the...
So da da doo doo. Da da.
Da da doo.
Do. Doo doo. Da do, right?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Da, 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 do, da, do.
Yep.
Oh, you can do it. I can't wait to hear Hungry Like the Wolf.
He could sing Cars, too, by Here in My Car. Can you sing that for us, please?
Here in my car. Here in my car.
For sure. Sounds almost just like Gary Numan.
Here in my car.
This is a game where you're two catapult players, but the best thing about this is the sound effects, which blew everybody away. Atari could not do this in 1982, so hold on.
All clear. Open fire.
So you hold your catapult down, and then you let it go, and here's the stone.
Come on, turkey, hit it.
Yeah, he called me a turkey.
Come on, turkey, hit it. He called you a turkey?
Yep. This was released in Europe as Stone Sling.
That's easy.
Wait a minute. In Europe, they don't know the word catapult?
It was originally released as Stone Sling in Europe, and then they released it here at Smithereens with the voice added.
I like that he says turkey. You know, turkey's just not an insult that we use much anymore. From about 1975 to 1985, if you weren't a turkey, you were probably a jive turkey.
Yeah, it's very dated.
Hey, turkey.
That's easy.
Oh, that's easy?
Yeah, I keep missing the castle.
Turkey, hit it.
I like the turkey part the best. In fact, I think he should say turkey after
that's
every line.
Easy.
That's easy, turkey.
Yeah. Nothing like to date yourself by saying turkey.
Oh, all right. I love it. I love that voice. That's great.
I'd like it if it go, you need an Alabama ass whooping.
You need an Alabama ass whooping, turkey. And I'm just the turkey to give it to you. Michael, I really appreciate you spending the time with me today.
On behalf of all Odyssey 2 owners, we thank you for your interest.
Even though they didn't come out with the Odyssey 3.
Boo! Right. I will leave you with some of the sound effects from the voice for Killer Bees. You ready?
Oh, please.
Thank you for listening. Network interference. Come on, Loki, hit it.
Lunavox. That's the name we came up with.